We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. In My Music, we don't often come visiting, but whenever we do, we seem to meet such nice people. Here, for instance, at London University, where the annual Convocation Conversazione is taking place. An audience of high IQ academics.
What? High IQ, it's a 17-syllable Japanese verse.
I think they're the sort of people who play chess without bothering to get out the chessboard. Anyway. Up here on the stage, it's a case of make do with what you've got. And what we've got are our customary 2 vs. 2, John Amos and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. And we begin, as ever, with John Amos. John, this is the start of a magnificent 20th century symphony. John, what happened when that composer decided that, in his own words, he needed a little French polish? Now, first of all, who was he, and what was the work?
Well, he was Vaughan Williams.
Yes.
French polish, yes. He went to have some lessons with Maurice Ravel.
Ravel, that's right.
And two more diametrically opposed chaps, you couldn't imagine.
Well, quite.
And he, having been entertained by Ravel in Paris a little bit when he was a student of Ravel's, he and his wife got awfully worried about this fastidious Frenchman coming to England. You know, what would he think of all the food here? And but Maurice Ravel said that his favourite restaurant was at Waterloo Station, where he went and had the steak and kidney poudinge.
Yes. Vaughan Williams went in 1908, although he was already quite well known himself, went to Ravel for advice. Rather nice story to add, John. Ravel said when they parted, "Now, will you write me a little minuet in the Mozart style for when we next meet?" And Vaughan Williams replied, "No." And that was the end of the lessons.
It was a fairly rude thing to say. He should have said, "No."
True, yes. Frank, I know you have an affection for the old music hall performers and their songs. This isn't a well-remembered song these days, but I think you'll recognise the voice.
People say Susanna's got money, a nice long stocking, and it's right, I know. If Georgie gets his hand on her stocking, he'll never, no, never let go.
A lovely kind of fruity voice, which just enjoys singing.
True voice.
Florrie Ford.
Florrie Ford, yes, who died in 1940. One of her great songs, Susanna's Long Stocking. Ian, I think it was your partner Dennis who told us once that there was an American pop song called Everybody's Making Money But Tchaikovsky. What was this when Tchaikovsky knew it?
Touch of the almonds and walnuts.
Yes, a sugar coating, indeed.
The Valse des Fleurs.
Yes, from?
The Nutcracker.
That's right. And Neil Hefti's rather unfortunate version there. I thought you'd get them up. Dennis, here's something rather bizarre. Dennis, that comes from the closing of Ibert's Divertissement. Originally, it was incidental music to the Italian Straw Hat. But your question, Dennis, the composer, Ibert, received the Légion d'honneur for something that is rather rare among us musicians. What was it?
I'll tell you exactly what it was, Steve.
Do.
It was the ability to mention the name of a composer without telling an anecdote about it. I don't know what was rare about Ebert, is the question which I imposed. He could play the double bass from inside. I don't know. You didn't expect an answer, did you?
No,
this
no.
is one of those, one of those things where you don't expect.
If only you would cease. I'd be quite contented to give you the mark for what you've given us already. You know? No, he got the Légion d'honneur for courage. in the First World War. In the next round, all the questions concern musical people and things in one way or another. John Amis, what did Wilhelm Heckel do for Herod's daughter?
Well, I take this to be a reference to the fact that Heckel built bass clarinets, and bass clarinets are very prominent in Richard Strauss's score of Salome.
Well, Bess's answer.
Three economists just got up and left the room.
Heckel also made bass oboes and various other wind instruments.
Well, what, try the one named after himself.
Well, there is a Heckel phone,
yes.
Which is a bass oboe, which I have just mentioned.
I have
in view of what my friend over here, Norden, has said, I will not tell an anecdote about him. I feel I'm being got at.
I have the Heckel phone down on my sheet here as a baritone oboe, but you're absolutely right. Richard Strauss called for one in the score of his Salome. Frank, what was the connection between Strauss's Salome and Sebastian Melmoth?
Sebastian Melmoth was the name adopted by Oscar Wilde.
Yes.
When he ran into trouble.
Yes.
Well, after he ran into trouble.
Yes.
And Oscar Wilde wrote this one-act drama in Finch.
That's right.
Which was the libretto for Richard Strauss's Salome.
That's right. Dennis couldn't have answered that better himself. That's right.
Late in the day for you to try and ingratiate
him. Ian, your turn. Should or should not the Russian guzli be confused with the Yugoslavian guzla, and why not?
Don't hesitate to come for help.
G-U-S-L-I.
You've asked the wrong fellow that question, for the very good reason that I have not the slightest idea. The only thought that comes to me is that possibly a Yugoslav guzler is a gourmet in Belgrade.
When it's springtime in Italy.
But
you don't know what either of them
I
are,
have
you?
Not the
no.
slightest idea.
Well, Ian has the look on his face of a man who's just been goozled.
Well, a goozly is a kind of zither used incidentally in Rimsky-Korsakov's Sadko, and a guzla being a bowed lute.
I'm not even ashamed at not knowing.
I can't give you a mark then there. Dennis, how would you set about turning an elephant into an oliphant?
Cautiously.
Can we get a bit nearer than that?
I'm afraid I would, any large quadruped, I would exercise great caution before turning into an oliphant?
Oliphant.
Into an
yes,
oliphant, because right. I haven't the remotest idea, no more idea what an oliphant is than Ian has what a guzli is.
Well,
even less.
When Ian tells you that an oliphant is a 10th century Byzantine horn...
That'll be the day.
Byzantine horn.
Yes.
Were there elephants around there? But I presume
yes, there
I was,
must
it
have
was
been.
Made with his tusk.
Or, yes, that's right. You'd hollow out.
You'd hollow out and you put a... what you would do, you would immediately, first thing before you did anything, you would fix it to an amplifier.
That's right. Yes, you would indeed, wouldn't you? You'd hollow out one of its tusks. To the piano and a medley of well-known tunes. John and Frank, looking expectant, 6 marks if you can identify these 6 tunes. Right. Thank you. So, John, did you get the first one?
It's one of those pieces by McDowell. Is it To a Wild Waterfowl or To a Wild Goosley Cover?
Yes.
Or
Wild Rose. Yes.
Oh.
Then came...
Bangles, yes. Beagles, my
The third one, back to John, I think.
New World Symphony.
From the New World. Then.
Jerry White, nice. Jerry White,
yes, right.
Lyric.
Two more, please.
Eric.
All good pals and...
No, that's the last
that's
one.
That's the last one.
It's the remind us of that fifth one, would you mind?
Spring Song, Mendelssohn's Spring Song, or Song Without Words.
Of course, one danced with it.
No, that's right. And you've got the last one. Jolly good company, so it's 5 out of 6.
Not bad.
And there, the next two, Ian and Dennis, are slightly better at it, so I've tried to construct a slightly harder one for them. So here's your 6 tunes. First one, if anything.
Yes, first movement, Italian Symphony, Mendelssohn.
Yes, yes, good start. Then
the significant piece was Who's the Little Girlie by Your Side from the Hello, Hello, Who's Your Lady Friend Symphony.
Yes, and then
Sweet Georgia Brown.
Sweet Georgia Brown, and then
you're on your own for the next two.
Well, Moonlight Madonna.
Yes, or as Ian might have said, Poem by Fibich.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't. No, he wouldn't dare, would he? Two more.
I didn't get that one. Try the academic team.
Anybody? It comes from the middle of the. Nobody knows. Yes, Frank.
I got it.
Skater's Waltz it came from, that's right. And the last song...
It's a bit of the Skater's Waltz.
Yes. The last one of all...
It.
From the Desert Song. 5 out of 6 for your side, too. John, back to you for the more ordinary sort of questions. John, 3 operatic roles. What have they in common? Toby, a gypsy boy in The Medium, King Duncan in Macbeth, and Dr. Thorpe in Peter Grimes.
Silent.
Pardon?
Silent.
That's right. They are all mute roles in opera. Frank, which Scythian shepherd led Handel to write an opera in 3 acts and later Ian Hamilton to compose a lyric drama in 24 scenes? Not to mention Kit Marlowe, who wrote a romantic tragedy in 2 parts. One name will suffice.
It's not the Jew of Malta, or...
No, it's not.
Or Faust.
No, a Scythian shepherd.
It's a man called Drum Alley, or Tambour Lane.
Yes. Your side got it, Tambour Lane is right, or in Handel's case, Tamerlano. Yes, Tambour Lane.
As you mentioned Christopher Marlowe, can I mention something I heard during the week? The definition of a Millie-Helen, which is Millie-Helen, a Millie-Helen is the unit of female beauty required to launch one ship.
Who's next? Oh, yes, Ian. Can you please hum a few bars of the best song, I think we can say, that appeared in a 1584 publication called A Handful of Pleasant Delights?
All right.
Bring me my crown and scepter.
Yes. Handful of Pleasant Delights, spelt D-E-L-I-T-E-S. It's rather sweet. Yes, that was the tune, the Greensleeves tune, that appeared in 1584. A new northern ditty, they called it. Dennis.
Not northern ditty.
No. Dennis, in the 1760s, Prince Esterhazy brought over from Italy a new valet named Tomasini. Why do we remember Luigi Tomasini, the valet, now, more than 200 years later? Because he was only a valet in the 1760s, after all.
He's only a valet,
you know.
I don't know that one.
Green.
Yes, could be how Green was my valet. He's probably because all dry cleaners hold a Luigi Tomasini week in memory of Luigi. But I can't make the musical connection. That's the problem.
Yes. He's the
Rudy Valet.
No. I'm dying to give you a mark, but I really don't think I can. No. He was, in fact, apart from being a valet, the best violinist in Haydn's orchestra. And this is one of the pieces that Haydn wrote for him. So, as a fiddler, Tomasini the valet was no slouch.
No, he could do that and shorten sleeves.
That's right, yes. Miscellaneous music questions. John, back to you. The LSO, the London Symphony Orchestra, in which year was it founded, would you say? Since you've written a book about it, you ought to know.
I should say it was about 1903.
I'll give you the mark. It was, in fact, 1904. At great expense, I've secured a recording made by that original London Symphony Orchestra before their standard was as high as it is today. Actually, I got it off the shelf marked LSO. I think it might have been the Portsmouth Sinfonia instead. I apologise.
I say, that's never Nickish, you know. That's never Nickish.
No, I was jesting. Frank, there's a composition which contains a lament by a roasted swan. Can you name that? And if you can't, I think your partner may be writing it down for you.
Johann Sebastian Beek.
I shall tell you off if you can't get it right.
It's Carmina Burán.
Is that Bizet's Carmen Burán?
Is it Burana?
Could be. It could even be Carmina.
Not illiterate, yeah. Writing. Yes.
Carmina Burana. The answer came from your side, so I give you the mark. Ian, the musical offering. Who composed it, who offered it, and to whom?
Ah, yes. Frederick the Great, singing in his bath, which he thought really was very tuneful, and sent for the man whom he thought would do the best job of it, which was Johann Sebastian Bach. Mm. And he gave it to him, and he turned it into what I think he called in the end a Prussian fugue.
Anyway, the musical offering by Bach and offered to Frederick the Great. Dennis, your question. Who wrote The Diary of a Fly?
That would be Karl Orff's brother, Buzz Orff. I don't know who wrote The Diary,
the Diary of a Fly. Some swat. That's what I wanted.
There's your man, Inspector. Yes.
I don't think you two are going to win this game. It was, in fact, Béla Bartók in Mikrokosmos. This final round has a subtitle. We call it the party piece. Each member of the team does a little solo singing. In answer to a number of questions, these performances are unrehearsed. If they were rehearsed, they'd be better. On the other hand, it's up to me not to choose songs they've never heard of. So we can work that one out. John, Dalla Sua Pace from Don Giovanni. Can you give us the gist?
Yeah. Would you like to give me a chord?
Yes, I'll swap with you. You will? To do mine. Yeah.
Frank, a Mark Sheridan song from the old musical days, Here We Are Again.
Oh, hang on. This is one of these jolly songs. There's about nine of them all the same, isn't there? Here we are, here we are, here we are again. All good friends and jolly good company. Never mind the weather, never mind the rain. Here we are together, whoops, we go again. All good pals and jolly good company. I rather feel you got two for the price of one.
I rather think we did, yes. Dennis, you don't mind going next, do you?
No, I think we should get serious a bit.
Right, yes. There was a song, Dennis, in the 30s, not your 30s, the 30s.
Later.
Would you like some later. Salt to sprinkle on?
It was a song... A song that a jealous husband might have sung. Who walks in when I walk out? Oh, remember? Snappy
pits.
Title.
Yes.
As
yes,
the songwriters probably told one another when they finished it.
Don't give him the music.
Oh, you're going to be there, aren't you? Yeah. Who walks in when I walk out without giving me that hi, baby? Who's the who? This got me jealous of you. You know, Steve has a kind of reserve of inane songs. Which I just thought could be described as a musical slush pun.
I'm going to find a song one day so pure that even you will refuse to sing it.
How about Here We Are, Here We Are, Here We Are Again?
Very good choice.
Very good choice.
Ian Wallace, I have a question for you. I say, do you like Kipling?
I don't know. I will say it. Yes. I don't know. I've never kippled.
Thank you. But you have sung Kipling's Road to Mandalay and are about to do so again. Give us a verse and a chorus. Be liberal. Give us a verse as well. Right?
With pleasure.
By the old Malvine Pagoda, looking eastwards to the sea, there's a Birmingham setting, and I know she thinks of me. For the wind is in the palm trees, and the temple bells they sing. Come ye back, ye British soldier, come ye back to Mandalay, come ye back to Mandalay. Come ye back to Mandalay, where the old flotilla lay. Can't you hear them paddles chunking from the Bengal to the Mandalay? On the road to Mandalay, voices play, and the dawn comes up like thunder. Heart of China, arise, the
Well, it seems an impossibility in view of that masterly final number, but it's a victory this week nonetheless for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.